Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, booskies? Welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are coming to you live from a studio in Salem, Massachusetts. Not our normal one, but we have a little bit of a pop-up at a different studio. So if the acoustics or anything sounds a little different, that is why, but you know what, we're making it happen. Excited to be filming another episode, so welcome back. Aiden, how are we doing today?
Doing good. It's completely different. We're in a different studio.
Mm-hmm.
We're filming on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
So everything's just completely turned upside down right now.
Yeah, turned upside down, but that's what we do for you guys. We have adversity, and we ass blast it.
We finger pop its asshole.
Oh man, and we get it going. So we are excited to be filming, and we're excited to be bringing you guys another episode. Aiden, where are we headed today?
We are headed to Frontierland.
Ooh,
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Nice, dude. So, have you ever been to Cheyenne?
Technically, I have. I stayed in a hotel on the outskirts of Cheyenne. I did not venture into the heart of Cheyenne.
Got you. But you were there?
I was there.
You were there. Now, did it give us, like, when I think of Wyoming or Cheyenne, I think of, you know, the Wild West. Like, it being, like you said, like, the frontier. Did it feel like it had that history or that energy or that roots when you were there?
I will say the state of Wyoming definitely did.
Nice.
The city of, like, the part of Cheyenne that I was in did not.
Got you.
Like, driving through Wyoming definitely felt it.
Nice. Did it, was it a big city?
Didn't feel huge.
Okay, got you.
Again, I didn't, like, really experience
it. Yeah, you just, like, pulled off the highway, slept, and then pulled back on the highway. Yeah. Got you. Okay. Well, it's definitely on my list. Looking at it and knowing a little bit about it, it's definitely one of the ones where I really would love to visit. And I also think that there's a lot going on there spiritually, or spirit-y. A lot of spirits.
I think spiritually is the right the right word.
Okay.
There.
A lot of spirits of both kind, knowing the Wild West, right, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely feeling excited about this episode. So I digress. What are we drinking for this one?
So, dude, initially I was like, oh, like, gotta find a fun cocktail. And then I was looking at, like, doing some research, and I was like, there's just nothing that, like, is speaking to me. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is so silly. Why would I do all this research when I could just think of what were people drinking, like, on the frontier?
Yeah.
So, today, we are doing old classic whiskey neat.
Nice. And like some frontier whiskey, right? Like some Evan Williams, like frontier ass whiskey, right?
Evan Williams, dude, it's jet fuel.
Nice.
Like, it is, oh man,
that'll put you back on the saddle.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So cheers to that. Let's get rolling.
Cheerio. That was crisp.
That was a good clink. I feel like we definitely have,
oh my god, dude, how did people do this?
Oh, man.
Oh gosh,
that's so awesome.
Oh my god,
that is so awesome.
Oh, whoa, I can already feel it, like, whoa.
I mean, it doesn't help that it's noon on
it is
Saturday.
Yeah, it's literally, it's 12:30, dude, it's 12:34. Make a wish. It's 1 2 3 4.
There you go. Here, so
that, oh yeah, yeah,
well, just because that's a little
uneven,
wobbly.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, no, you'll definitely be feeling warm and crispy. Yeah.
I'm already feeling warm, that's for sure.
There you go. But it's a cold November day. It's like, that's what you want to feel. You want to feel warm.
But my stomach is already like
blue.
Yeah.
Did you eat today?
I have not.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So, I've also had a cowboy's diet, coffee and whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, you are living
I'm living the frontier.
Yeah, I'm just going to look over and you're going to have like a hat on. You're going to have like a mouthful of chaw. Oh, man.
You're going to look over and there's just going to be a horse in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, man. How a horse would get to our third floor walk-up studio is definitely, you know what? I would be more impressed than angry at that point. I would be like, how did a horse get in here?
I'm sure that people were also saying the same thing about people on the frontier. Yeah. Like, how the heck did these horses get out here?
Do you ever think, like, people would just be in bars and, like, a horse from outside would just wander in?
100%.
Could you imagine?
Have you ever watched Bar Rescue?
No.
There's an episode where a dude literally rides a horse into a bar.
Oh, my gosh.
And it shits all over the floor.
No. Was he so mad?
The guy, John Taffer,
yes,
was pissed.
Yeah.
He was like, this is every part of this is illegal and wrong.
That's hilarious. Yeah, you're just like.
So I can imagine on the frontier and saloons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, probably a daily occurrence.
Dude. You know what would be nice about a horse, though, especially like back, like, you know, slinging back some whiskey in a horse, like you could blackout drive a horse probably pretty, like, it's not like a car where like you're full, like the horse is in charge, dude.
Do you think the cop, like sheriff horses had like a whistle on it that was like a siren?
Ooh, maybe. I don't know, dude. That would be hilarious.
A lantern for the blue and red lights.
That would be so funny. That would be a good one. Yeah, I don't know, but that would definitely be a good one. So, all right, you want to get into your story?
I do.
Let's see.
Today I will be telling you a little tale about the underground tunnels underneath Cheyenne.
There's underground tunnels, dude?
I feel like there's underground tunnels literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
This is my third tunnel that I've talked about. Third. Salem, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And Cheyenne, Wyoming.
That is a lot of tunnels.
It is a lot of
tunnels. That is a lot of tunnels, dude. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, in the late 1800s, Cheyenne was booming. The railroad had come to town, and with it, a swirl of ambition, commerce, and raw energy.
Nice. That was a whiskey burp.
That was a whiskey burp and a half, dude. Oh, man. All right, let's get back into this. The Union Pacific Depot became the heartbeat of the frontier city. Trains arriving, people disembarking, goods flowing in and out. But in those days, nighttime could be cold, dangerous, and unpredictable.
Absolutely.
For railroad workers, businessmen, and city elites, walking across icy streets was no joke. So they built tunnels.
That's actually a really smart idea.
Yeah. I feel like there's like a university or something that built tunnels underneath so that students can walk without like slipping or something.
You know, UVM actually had one like underneath and
maybe
stuff
that's
like
what
that.
I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Of.
I would definitely not be surprised if like Montreal or like some of those like cities like had them. It's actually really smart. It's like, okay, first off, it gets unfathomably cold in some places. And that definitely would be a super smart idea.
Yeah. Most of the tunnels were built for mundane reasons, like delivering coal or allowing workers to move between buildings during brutal Wyoming winters. Others were built for more clandestine activities.
Ooh.
By the late 19th century, many of Cheyenne's most prominent businesses and saloons had basements connected to these hidden corridors. Gambling dens, Prohibition-era speakeasies, brothels, escape routes, stories of human trafficking, a small subterranean Chinatown that has all but vanished from official records.
Damn.
So that is a little bit of the history of the tunnels, and now we'll get into some of the spirits. So, that I could find, there was 5 main spirits that lived down in the tunnels.
5's kind of a lot, dude.
But it makes sense because I feel like if you have, like, there's a few haunted buildings that are attached to it.
Yeah.
There's some tunnel ghosts just on their own right.
Uh-huh.
Like, 5 kind of makes sense. So, the first one is the girl with the broken shoes. Her name is lost to history, so most simply call her either the girl or the girl with the broken shoes. She is believed to have been a young Chinese girl brought to Cheyenne in the late 1800s during the period when Chinese immigrants, many fleeing violence or poverty, ended up working railroad jobs or being forced into underground lives. According to legend, she was kept in the tunnels by a trafficker operating out of a saloon above ground. Girls like her were often hidden when police or inspectors came. Down in the tunnels, they could be moved between buildings without anyone on the street noticing.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, not great. But it's kind of the like a similar thing to the Portland and the Salem tunnels, where like people were just like kidnapped and brought to the ports.
So it's maybe a good idea that every city in the U.S. doesn't have tunnels, because it's just like, oh, or we have tunnels, we're just going to, this is where all the bad shit's going to happen.
Or like have a separate tunnel police force.
Yeah, that would be wild, dude. Just, yeah, I'm part of the tunnel division.
Tunnel task force.
Yeah, tunnel task force. Oh, man.
One night, fleeing whoever controlled her, she ran barefoot through the tunnels, her shoes breaking apart on the cold stone floors.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
And she never made it out.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. To this day, people claim to hear the soft, frantic patter of bare feet running behind them in the dark.
That has such a distinct sound, too.
Yeah, like the pitter-patter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know exactly that sound. Like, being a kid, like, and, like, running on the street, like, barefoot, like, in pavement, like, you know exactly that sound. That's crazy.
That would also suck to be, like, for eternity barefoot.
Yeah. No, for real. Or awesome. I mean, shoes are feet prisons. Like, I am very much on that wavelength.
I know that you're anti-shoe.
I am so anti-shoe. I love to be bare. And sock. Like, I love to be barefoot.
I am pro-shoe.
I love to wear shoes with no socks, too. I go through so many pairs of shoes because they just end up smelling like rotten garbage. Because my feet be smelling. But yeah, no, absolutely.
You got to get shoes that are made for bare feet.
I know. I do try to get like
Allbirds.
Dude, Allbirds and Hey Dudes. I have bought both of them. Hey Dudes. You definitely have. They're like they kind of look like a boat shoe and like a moccasin like together. Like they are like, you've definitely seen a Hey Dude. Absolutely, like, I wore them for summer. I just, and this is TMI for our listeners, but my feet sweat, like, more than a sinner in church. And I definitely, like, those Hey Dudes, I was like, fuck yeah, dude, these are, like, meant for barefoot summertime, like, vibes. And within 3 weeks, I was like, oh my gosh, like, talk about maybe a dead body somewhere. Like, it is in those shoes.
Dude, I think you should also look into the shoes that I have. I think it's like Olukanais or something like that.
Yes.
They're like boat shoe moccasin meets Crocs.
Yes.
Because they have sports mode.
Yes.
Dude, it's the best.
Every time you wear them, I'm like, I should. They're just kind of pricey, though, is the one thing.
They're
so
pricey.
Like,
dude, I'm so mad. Wallace
shooed
the tongue of them. I'm still wearing it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
There's literally, you can see the outline of his bite.
Yeah, but that's a tough one. You're like,
I'm like, dude, they're still wearable, so I'm gonna keep wearing them.
Maybe I will. I want a pair of those Birkenstocks, that, like, the, like, closed-toed Birkenstocks. I think they're called the Bostons. You definitely have.
I don't think I have.
You've seen Hey Dudes.
I also just don't look at people's feet.
You've seen Hey Dudes. You've seen the Boston Birkenstocks. Like, I am... Like, ready? I'm actually going to prove it to you right now that you've seen both of these.
I doubt it.
Ready? I'm going to show Aiden a picture of Hey Dudes, and then I'm going to show Aiden a picture of the Bostons.
I'll take this opportunity to take a sip.
Ready?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. I feel like you've seen the Hey Dudes.
I don't think I have.
Hey Dudes. Ready? I'm going to do Hey Dudes on person.
They kind of look like just any other shoe.
That's a picture of Sydney Sweeney. So don't get distracted by the person wearing the shoes. Just look at the shoes.
Yeah, I haven't seen these shoes before.
All right, well, we're 0 for 1. Ready? I'm going to take this opportunity to speech to text. Boston Birkenstocks.
our editor is going to be so pissed that we're going on like a 10-minute tangent. Maybe.
They're actually super popular right now.
$200?
Yeah, they're popular. But Birkenstocks are also just nice shoes. Shoes are expensive.
They are expensive, but $200?
Yeah. All right. We digress.
All right. Where was I? Some say that they've seen the shape of a small figure dart between pillars, wearing tattered clothing and no shoes. More chilling still are the accounts of a child's voice whispering in Mandarin or Cantonese, a language most visitors do not understand.
Oh, yeah.
One tour guide tells of a woman who froze in place during a visit. When asked what was wrong, she said that she felt someone gripping her hand.
Oh,
small fingers cold as river ice.
Don't love that. That would keep me up at night for a couple months after the fact.
When she looked down, there was nothing there.
No, it was just a little Chinese girl that got murdered in the tunnels.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that is the...
Do we know how she got murdered?
We don't.
Oh, geez. That makes it even scarier or sadder. Actually,
definitely sadder.
Yeah, right? It does make it sadder, right?
Hey, you didn't even know, like, her full story.
No.
We don't even know her name.
No. Just girl that got murked in the tunnels.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
So that is the girl with the broken shoes.
Yeah.
Next is the old saloon keeper. So there was once a saloon at street level, but its name is long forgotten. According to workers who have been in the tunnels, the spirit of its former owner still stands guard over a hidden back room. During Prohibition, the tunnels served as lifelines for illegal liquor. Beneath certain bars, caches of bootleg whiskey, almost like what we're drinking today, were stored in locked rooms accessible only through the tunnels. One unnamed saloon keeper, described as a stern man always in suspenders and a stained apron, was said to be fiercely protective over his underground stock. He died in the 1920s, but by all accounts, never stopped watching over the tunnels. People say that in one particular tunnel junction, a man's silhouette sometimes appears, hands behind his back, like he's inspecting the place. He is described the same way every time, tall, broad-shouldered, with a beard and old-world clothes. One local maintenance worker swears he saw his figure leaning against the wall, flickering like a lantern flame. He turned away for just a moment, and the figure vanished. But the smell that remained was unmistakable. Sour mash whiskey. Tour groups have reported doors rattling on their own, as though someone is checking that everything is properly locked. Others hear the squeaking of an old swinging saloon door, though no such door has existed underground for a century. The old saloon keeper doesn't threaten people, he just watches. Guards, inspects, but something about his presence freezes the blood. Maybe because his devotion never ended even after his death. So that is the old saloon keeper.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, he's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's just kind of like stuck there. Like no malevolent... Kind of
just making sure things are locked up.
Energy. Just like, yep.
So that the coppers can't come and get his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just an honest man doing dishonest work.
Oh.
Yeah. It's going down quick, though.
It is going down. I mean, it's not a ton of liquid.
Yeah. Did you bring a second one?
Oh.
Enough for a second one, or is that all your whiskey?
I did, yeah.
Nice. Did. Love it.
All right. Third. Is the headless man of the freight tunnel.
Yes! Okay. Dude, just anyone that's headless is hilarious. I mean, not really, because people don't get headless in funny ways.
Or by accident. Well, I guess they could.
They could. They definitely get headless by accident, but just, like, it's such a graphic like...
That first guy who was like, oh, let me just make sure that, like, a person can fit in the guillotine.
Yes.
And then... Oops.
Yep.
Drop the rope.
Uh-huh. Yep. No friggin' thank you.
All right. So one of the darker tales centers on a section of tunnel that once allowed for the quiet transfer of cargo between the depot and nearby businesses. The corridor is long, narrow, and supposedly cursed. Locals call the entity that haunts it the Headless Freightman. The story claims a railroad worker died tragically in the late 1800s crushed during the movement of heavy cargo.
Yeah, that's sad.
His body was recovered, but his head was not.
Oh, Jesus. Does that mean his head was just, like, obliterated?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just not... Where'd the head go? Like, you don't just...
Pieces.
Not find a head. It, like, it is...
Crushed.
Just, yes, to smithereens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Flattened.
So I'm taking back my hilarious statement.
Some said it rolled... Oh, okay. So, oh. Maybe it was...
Maybe it did roll?
Heads will roll.
Heads will roll. It's like the, like, Chef Boyardee, like, soup can, like, rolling down the street. It's like, I want the head. We have heads at home. And then it's just rolling behind you.
Oh, man.
And the kid's like, oh, the head came. And the mom's like, oh, what the fuck? It's a head.
Completely different commercial.
I thought this was a soup can commercial. This is fucking ridiculous. Calling my agent. The fuck did you book me for?
The kid just picks up the head and there's soup inside.
Just eating soup out of... You know how, like, movies have, like, now they have, like, the, like, specialty popcorn buckets and stuff like that? Just eating popcorn out of a head.
Buy a souvenir.
Yeah.
Take it home.
It's just some railroad
the
worker.
The headless freightman.
I also said railroad worker.
Railroad
worker. Is this a railroad worker's head? Oh, man.
Oh, man, dude. Where was I? Oh, some said it rolled into the tunnels and was never found. Others said it was stolen by pranksters.
That's wild.
Dude, it reminds me of our, was it our, like, Ireland episode where people stole the Crusaders?
Yes, body.
Body
yes.
parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything just went to shit.
Yes, everything went to shit from there. So, and just, like, the fact that...
Why are people stealing bodies?
No.
It's weird.
Yeah. Don't steal the bodies.
Leave bodies alone.
Leave the bodies alone.
Weirdos.
But, such weirdos. Especially a head, like, pranks. It's a head. Get it.
Kicked it like a soccer ball.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, okay. Don't steal bodies. We have already said that.
Oh, boy. Where is this going?
I mean, Ding Dong Ditch, but just putting a head on someone's steps would be, I mean, like, top-tier reaction out of someone. Nothing like a little trauma to make the prank.
Oh, dude, I just thought of it. You know how I said that he would be eating soup out of the head?
Yes.
Head bowl.
Yes.
Not bread bowl. Head
yes.
Bowl.
Panera's newest invention.
Oh, dude.
A head bowl. Oh, man.
All right. There are even darker whispers that he was murdered in a dispute over wages or theft and buried secretly beneath the city.
Whoa.
Wherever the truth lies, people insist that his spirit wanders the freight tunnel still, searching for what he lost. Witnesses describe a shadowy figure walking slowly, shoulders moving like someone lugging a heavy load. He appears solid in outline, but horrifyingly incomplete above the neck.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's like a ghost that, like, I just picture, like, was the chick from Scooby-Doo. Is, like, always looking for her glasses.
Velma.
But it's just, like, some dude just, like, frantically feeling around for his head. And you're just, like, everyone's, like, just step around him. It's like, you know, when... Never mind.
Okay.
Yep.
I've learned on this podcast,
yeah.
When you say never mind, let it be.
Let it be. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but I was just like, you know when, like, there's a blind person on the sidewalk and everyone just acts like, oh my, like, and it's just, like, such a slow creep around out of their path?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I picture. Just, like, he's feeling for his head and it's like, guys, like, don't, like,
just,
we're just...
Stay
where you are. We're just going to move around him slowly. Just a lot of chest and torso, like, contorting and stuff like that. And you're like, then you're clear of him. You're like, all right, we're good. But, yeah. You know exactly. Everyone knows exactly. Everyone that's interacted with a blind person on the sidewalks, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, yeah, you move out of their way.
Yes, you move out of their way. I did see. No, that one. Never mind. Because okay. I think there's varying levels of blindness. But I did see a blind person looking at a phone the other day, and I was like,
Yeah,
you can be
legally blind, yes, and like need the cane and stuff, but
like,
still have
like some vision.
Like I feel like it's like you can look at stuff that's like closer
like
to
right
you,
right there and stuff like that. Yeah, that
like
makes
stuff
sense.
That's like a little bit farther.
But
away
I just walked by. I in that moment I forgot that that was a thing. Like I thought it was an all or nothing type situation.
Yeah,
and I like walked by and I was like, wait, hold on a second. Oh man. Ugh.
Okay, I'm gonna start back from. Yeah. The beginning of this paragraph. Witnesses describe a shadowy figure walking slowly, shoulders moving like someone lugging a heavy load. He appears solid in outline, but horrifyingly incomplete above the neck. Some say the apparition doesn't walk. He drifts, his boots scraping the floor just enough to echo. One paranormal group claimed that while setting up equipment in that corridor, their flashlights flickered out simultaneously. In the pitch dark, they heard the dragging scrape of something moving along the ground, coming closer. The movement, the moment they, dude, I am feeling this whiskey. The moment they fled back toward the stairwell, the lights snapped back on again. But the most unsettling reports, people say that they feel breathing, heavy, labored breathing, right beside their ear. But no one's there.
That is very scary, but also so annoying. Like, anytime you're around a heavy breather, you're like, bro, just shut the fuck up. Like, breathe. You're just, like,
fucking
in the tunnel.
Mouth breather, dude.
You're, like, in the tunnel, just, like, setting up equipment. You're like, oh, we're gonna have a great ghost hunt. And all you just hear is, and you're like, is there a pug in the corridor? Like, what is going on? Like, just, like, I appreciate we have found a ghost. Can we find one that knows how to breathe through their nose?
Also, why do you need to fucking breathe, yes. Mm-hmm. Weirdo? You don't have a head, first
no,
of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, you're a ghost.
Yes.
You don't need oxygen.
I work with someone who is a mouth breather. And I will be there sitting and just, I can hear, like, and I'm like, are you on the verge of a heart attack? Like, what is going on? Like, did you
somebody?
Have a stroke? Like, what is going on? Oh, man.
All right. The next one is the woman in the red dress. So this is the fourth of five.
Ooh.
A more glamorous but no less tragic spirit is said to haunt the tunnels connected to what was once part of Cheyenne's red light district. In the city's early days, businesses above ground flourished, but a shadow economy of brothels thrived below.
For sure, dude.
For sure, dude.
It's the frontier, bro.
Yeah. There was a bunch of debauchery going on.
Oh, yeah.
The woman in the red dress is believed to have been a madam or a high-ranking working girl.
Ooh.
Someone respected and maybe even feared.
Oh, shit.
Her legend says that she was murdered by a jealous lover or perhaps a rival madam.
Damn.
I've never really thought about madams being rivals with each other. Like,
I definitely.
This is my turf.
If I was a madam, I would be very competitive. I would, dude. I would be.
Gotta hit those KPIs.
I mean, I already know my plan. Like, you're going to the saloon, your rival saloon, or sending someone. If you're known,
yeah,
maybe some either light plastic surgery or a disguise of some sorts. You're going in and getting behind the bar, or, ooh, I'm thinking it out aloud now, you find the shipment, the booze shipment, laxatives in everything, just laxatives in everything.
And then that way, the patrons come to your place.
Yes, oh, and just everyone's, they're all pooping, like, the whole, like, that would definitely, I would be, like, it would be a turf war, like, I would absolutely, like, not murdering anyone, but just, like, they'd be pooping a lot, dude. They would definitely
They wouldn't be dead. They'd just be pooping.
They would be pooping. I mean, could you imagine, dude, a brothel where everyone has the runs, dude? That
Not
is,
a lot of blood, just a lot of poop.
Just a lot of pooping, dude.
The details change depending on the storyteller, but the core stays the same. She died in violence, abandoned in the tunnels where no one would find her until it was too late. Visitors claim to see a flash of crimson fabric disappearing around corners. Men, in particular, say that they feel a hand trailing lightly down their arm or neck. Some hear the click of heels on old stone, though the tunnels are far too uneven for anyone to walk in stilettos today. One former business owner who had access to a sealed portion of the tunnels reported smelling perfume.
Ooh.
floral, old-fashioned, like something from a Victorian vanity set.
Oh, shit.
A moment later, a gust of air brushed past him, though there was no breeze below ground. The woman in the red dress is not malicious, just lonely.
Yeah,
still waiting for someone who never returned.
Yeah. Like she was down there for like something, and then someone went, bah!
Yeah.
Just bah! They had guns. Yeah, they... That's a dumb... They had guns back then.
They were the guns.
Yes.
They were the people with guns.
Yes, like all the time.
Yeah.
Like just always had guns on them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That makes sense. So.
And then, last but not least.
Yeah.
The laughing boy.
The what?
The laughing boy.
The laughing boy. This is either really creepy or like funny.
So, perhaps the most chilling tale because of its randomness.
Oh, there you go.
Is that of the laughing boy, a spirit said to haunt a tunnel near an old barbershop's basement entrance. No one really knows who he was, or there's no record of a child's death that's been tied definitively to the tunnels. But the phenomenon is so frequently reported that even skeptics struggle to dismiss it. People hear laughter, not echoing up from above, not drifting from a distant room, but right beside them. A high, bright, joyful giggle until it abruptly cuts off.
That's weird. That's
pretty
sketchy. That's very creepy.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's like never like far away, like it's like right next to you.
Right.
Just ha ha ha, and then just silent.
Some describe it as playful. Others say that it sounds mocking. A few say that the laughter turns into coughing, like the child is choking before silence. Just silence.
Jeez. So a kid's choking in the tunnel.
Kind of makes sense. It's dusty down there.
Yeah, but like, do you think he choked to death?
I also read that the tunnels were made with asbestos.
Oh.
So.
Yep, that'll do it.
Not great.
Not great for you.
Tour groups have had multiple people freeze at once, eyes wide, each insisting that they heard the laugh behind them, though they were all facing different directions.
Uh-huh.
And in rare accounts, visitors claim to have seen a small silhouette sitting against the wall, knees tucked to the chest, before it fades like a blown-out candle.
Knees tucked to the chest. Jeez.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a kid down there, which, like, that's red flag number one.
Well, there's technically two kids down there.
Yeah, yes, the Chinese girl.
With the broken shoes.
Yes. That, like, terrible. But this is, like, someone, like, she was down there because of malevolent reasons. This kid, it's like, what
is your deal?
What is your deal? So that's creepy as shit, dude.
So, needless to say, I'm going haunt.
Oh, I'm going for sure 100% haunt, dude.
Yeah.
Like, super hella haunted.
Super hella haunt.
Super hella haunt, no cap. Yeah, definitely haunted. No notes. Definitely haunted.
Agreed.
Yep. So.
So that is the tunnels.
That is the tunnels.
Of Cheyenne.
Of Cheyenne. That's crazy. I do have a poem.
I'm excited to hear it.
Okay. I will pull it up real quick. Let's see. Let's get to the front. So, the title of this. And I try to have it be topical to just something in my life or, you know, the story or something like that. So this one is called The Cowboy Who Absolutely Shouldn't Be Doing That.
Okay.
He stomps into the saloon, boots clicking like a metronome set way too confident. Hat tilted, spurs jiggling, mustache curled like it's holding secrets. And everybody hushes. Because Cowboy Clint is here, and he's doing something real suspicious, okay? He swings his lasso, not over cattle, not over Mustangs, not even over a tumbleweed, no. This man, this legend, this denim-wrapped menace is lassoing a Roomba. Yeah, a dusty, confused, Target-on-sale Roomba. Spinning around the saloon floor like it's auditioning for Dancing with the Stars, Unhinged Frontier Edition. Clint's yelling, "Yeehaw! Yeah, you little metal buffalo!" While the Roomba bumps into a bar stool and rethinks its entire existence. And the barkeep's like, "Sir, why?" And Clint wipes his brow like he's done 6 hours of hard ranching work. "I'm breaking her in." Ain't no robot cleaning my floors without learning the value of discipline and dust devils. Then, Clint hops on it. Yes, like a tiny mechanical horse, hat flying off, arms windmilling, trying to rodeo a vacuum. And that has one single mission in life. Go straight, and it cannot. And as it spins him in circles, he screams, I ain't afraid of technology, while absolutely losing a battle with a device that cost $199 at Walmart. And when it finally throws him onto a cactus, a jukebox, and a man named Earl, Clint stands up, brushes himself off, looks into the sunset, and declares, reckon I'll stick to horses. And the Roomba beeps, rolls away, and retires early.
Good for the Roomba, dude.
Yes, right? Yeah, the Roomba was definitely the hero in that story. So, yeah.
It was.
Oh, man. All right, you want to pause and reset?
Yeah.
Cool. Right. We'll be right back.
We're back.
We are back. Aiden's swigging whiskey.
Dude, it just, that does not feel good. It is jet fuel.
Oh, man.
That stuff, oh.
You're going to go home. You're going to eat. It's going to feel so good. You're going to, like, wrap up in a nice warm blanket and
dude,
stuff
I might, like
that.
Grab myself a slice or something on the way.
It's not a bad way. You can get flying saucer, like a good slice of pepperoni za.
Ooh.
Right, dude?
Little slice of za.
Yeah, little slice of za, dude. All right. I'm doing the Plains Hotel. I was super excited when you were like, oh, I stayed at a hotel in Cheyenne. I was like, dude, I wonder if you stayed at the Plains.
No.
You were like, no. Like,
it
days
was like
in.
A strip
yeah,
mall,
like
normal.
Got you.
Maybe like a Marriott or something.
Something. That's a bit of a bummer. But the Plains Hotel opened in 1911 as Cheyenne's grand modern hotel. It was built in the city's boom years. Was it booming because of gold? We both talked about it. Like, you talked about the boom. I'm talking about the boom. Why did it boom? Why boom, Cheyenne? Cheyenne boom?
My story mentioned coal, so I don't know if coal was a big thing there.
Maybe.
But also just, like, it was a kind of a...
Frontier, just like settling.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably, like, a refueling station kind of vibe.
Boom.
Where, like, people would, like, on their way to Oregon or whatever. I mean, maybe not in the 1910s, but...
Maybe. I don't know. Well, Cheyenne boomed for some reason. And it was intended to be a symbolic sophistication or a symbol of symbolic. Nope. A symbol of symbolic. A symbol of sophistication
there
like on the plains.
Yeah.
And the building in a lobby actually had this. The lobby of the building has this really cool stained glass solar system, like in the roof of the lobby is like stained glass solar system. That's sick.
That is sick.
Is that right? And that's pretty cool. Over the decades, it's hosted notable visitors and events, and you know it just has long been a anchor of downtown life in Cheyenne. And with that come some ghosts. Hotel ghosts. Give me your... I'm going to give you three chances to guess. So, we got three ghosts, okay? They're all connected. What incident connected them? Go.
What incident?
Yeah, you get three guesses.
Okay, well, there was probably some Old West shootout, is my first guess.
Okay, no.
My second guess... Mob.
No. Mob of the 1911? That's still cowboy days.
Is it?
Yeah, 1911 is absolutely still cowboy days.
My third guess. All right. I have one guess left.
Yes.
Can you give me like a slight hint?
No.
Damn. I mean, I'm going to go with like Native American versus settlers.
No. Murder, suicide.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that was... I was going way too over the top.
Yeah, you were going way too over the top. Just a good old-fashioned murder, suicide. But it involved three. So it wasn't just a one-on-one murder, suicide. It was a group of three murder, suicide.
Two murder, one suicide.
Yep.
Wow.
Two murder. I mean, you don't really hear of a one murder, two suicide. I don't
I
think
mean,
I've ever heard of one. Maybe.
Suicide pact between two people.
After
they
someone.
Murder somebody.
Yeah, it definitely has happened.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good call. So this murder suicide was actually a jealous love tragedy.
Classic.
Yep. So there is a couple of different kind of versions of the story, but the most commonly told on ghost tours or like in reports and all that stuff is Rosie. Rosie was a bride getting married at the hotel. And Rosie is upstairs, and she's getting ready. And the groom, we don't know the groom's name, left her to go, you know, down to the bar or lounge. She was like, all right, you're getting ready for the wedding. I'm going to go down to the bar. While I'm ready, I'm going to go down to the bar and just wait for you there. Or not wait for you there. Come back up. That's an important part of the story. He was supposed to come back up, like, after, like, all right, you got an hour.
I'm going to get a drink.
I'm going to get a drink. I'll be back up, like, in an hour or something like that. So, okay. She says, cool. I'll be getting ready. And then he doesn't come back up. So then Rosie starts to get a little suspicious, going, huh, it's been an hour, hour and a half, hour 45 at this point. I don't see him. And I'm fully ready now at this point, so I'm going to go down and get him. And she's wearing this blue ball gown or her wedding dress. She's wearing like a blue kind of wedding dress from what I can tell in the reports. And she sees him with another woman.
Bro.
I know. You're about literally
Come
about
on.
To get married.
Are you like you're in the hotel
yes.
that you're getting married
yes.
at?
Yes.
That's crazy.
He sees him with another woman. Now she this is important. She sees them up like downstairs, but she sees them like at the tail end of going to leave. Like maybe he's
together.
Like paying the check or yeah together. So she sees them, doesn't confront them downstairs. They go leave to go up to this other woman's room. It might have been a prostitute. I mean the all the accounts have is she is a ill repute woman. Like she's kind of just sexy and but trashy. Like it's like
yeah,
like she's wearing a red gown, like short red dress with like white lace is what she's described to be wearing.
Which in what you said 1911?
Yeah, like
pretty
scandalous.
Yes.
So they leave. They went up to her room, and then Rosie confronts the two of them. And Rosie somehow got a hold of the groom's, and like you were saying, talking about like everyone's carry guns, like he's in his wedding attire with
packing.
So Rosie somehow gets his gun from him and shoots him and the woman. And then she goes back up to her room and then shoots herself.
Not what I expected. I expected, I mean, you usually hear about the man perpetrating the crime.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that it was little Rosie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she was little.
I don't either. But because of that, all three of those spirits still reside at the Plains Hotel.
Talk about uncomfortable.
Yes, the fact that they're all still in the same place.
Yeah.
So, Rosie is often seen in the kind of corridors of the hotel, moving kind of frantically. Like, she is, like, they describe it as, like, running back to the honeymoon suite. So, like, she had just murdered her soon-to-be husband and the woman that he was cheating on her with, and she's like going back to her room. So
this is a quick PSA to anybody who's thinking about murdering two people
right.
and then killing themselves. Don't. Because because there's a chance, like aside from it being wrong, there's a chance that you'll be with them for eternity
yes.
instead of just saying, you know what, I'm done with you, I'm going to move on with my life
yes.
and then I'm going to spend eternity doing something else.
Yeah. there's a chance that you'll be with them for eternity, yes. And that is uncomfortable.
Yes, that I, you know what, hadn't thought of it like that. That is that so, does suck. So
take that as an additional reason to not do that.
Go through with that plan. Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, she is seen, kind of going to those corridors and what the hotel still has named as the honeymoon suite. Like she is seen in that room. And then the groom is reportedly seen in historic formal wear, like early 1900s. So he has a tailcoat, a white shirt, and he's mostly seen on the fourth floor. And then sometimes in the basement, actually, which nothing about the story kind of said he was in the basement. So I don't know why he's down there. And then the other woman, like I said, is often seen in a short red dress with white lace. And she's typically seen on the second floor or the lobby. So my guess, like when I was putting all that together, is like they got shot on the second floor.
Yeah.
And then the honeymoon suite was on the fourth floor.
Right.
So my guess is he's seen on the fourth floor because he's trying to go up and like apologize to Rosie. Rosie's often seen on the second floor running after murdering and then up in the honeymoon suite. And the sounds that are often heard are footsteps. Doors and windows kind of opening and closing, and then cold spots. Did I say sounds that are often heard, and then I said footsteps and then doors? And yeah, I guess opening would that have would a be, sound. No, yeah. All right, that made sense. But then they also hear crying that turns into, like, hysterical laughter.
Whoa.
So my guess is that's, like, she's just crazy. Hysteric. Well, yeah, because she just...
Manic.
She was... Gonna marry someone, love them enough to marry them, then just murdered them, and then now is...
The day of her wedding.
Yes, on the day of her wedding. You come to me on my daughter's wedding day. and then she murders herself. So my guess is in those moments between those two happening, she was probably a little frantic. A little frazzled, one might say.
Yes.
So I do think like it's like her like... like just that like... That manic kind of like back and forth between the two.
I bet it sounds just like that.
Yes, it probably does. But that sound would probably be fucking so scary to hear. Just a manic ghost.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, that's unpredictable.
Yeah, just super unpredictable. So those are the three residents of the Plains Hotel that have no plans on checking out anytime soon.
Nice.
What do you think? Haunted or not?
I'm going to go haunted. I feel like that's a lot of energy. The wedding, like, that it's the best day of your life turned into the worst and last day of your life.
It's the best day of your life that turns into the worst day of your life. Do-do-do. Your husband was about to bone some prostitute. Do-do-do. Then you shoot him. Bang, bang, bang. Then you shoot her. Bang, bang, bang. Then you run up to your room. You're sitting there thinking what to do, not sure how to move on. Well, then you don't, because you shoot yourself. Bang, bang, bang.
That was beautiful, dude.
Thank you. That was
amazing.
Off the dome.
If that was a real song, that would absolutely be copyrighted.
Right?
Yeah.
That would be copyrighted, but it's not a real song. That's ours.
That we know of.
That's a Spirit Song. Spirit's
some,
original.
Some, like... Yeah. Some like completely unknown person is like, that's my song.
Maybe the pianist in the lobby of the hotel will be singing that now.
Yeah.
Yes. I could see that. So, yep. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Well, cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, yeah.
Cheyenne, Wyoming. I feel like Cheyenne's a haunted town based off those two.
Just sounds like a haunted town. Right? Just the name of it.
It's like, there's no way this place isn't Cheyenne, haunted. Wyoming. Like, when I suggested it as a city, I was like, I know nothing. I mean, like, I know the history of it. I don't know any specific kind of ghost things. But I was like, there's no way this place doesn't have some, like, deep, dark secrets it's up to us to unravel.
Every frontier town.
Every frontier town has it going on.
Yeah.
So, cool. All right. Well, that's all we got on this week's episode of Spirits on Spirits. Please, 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 like, follow, subscribe, leave some comments on our Insta or on the posts, and you know, we
or Spotify. You can leave comments on Spotify.
Yeah,
so do that.
That would be cool. We let us know what you like think. Those. Yeah, So we appreciate you all. Take it easy. And until next week, stay spooky.
Peace.
Peace.